Hello and thank you for being here. This is your host, Positive Phil, with the Positive Phil Show. Are you ready to get positive? Oh yeah, that's why you are here. Thank you so much. Thank you to the new network that picked us up. Yes, more visibility for the Positive Phil Show. Check out our Twitter account, Ask Positive Phil. Let your voice be heard. This is a place where we interview thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and today we have a successful business builder, a growth capital investor, and member of Princeton University's entrepreneurship faculty, Chris Keeney. He co-authored a book, Built for Growth. Check it out, builtforgrowth.com. I love it. I love good people encouraging other people to be good and to build good businesses. Let's listen to a clip of our conversation.
That businesses tend to have growth periods, and then they tend to have plateau periods. And I think this is true for us as people too, right? So there are periods of time when you feel like you're getting better and you're learning new things, and then there are periods of time when you kind of flatten out. And one of the pieces of advice we have in the book is how you stay on a steep learning curve yourself to become a stronger builder. And we developed these two strategies of how to become a stronger builder. You can become an expert builder, in which you leverage your natural strengths and then you delegate the things you're not good at. Or you can be a master builder, where you take on the qualities of other people to actually diversify your repertoire of skills. And we don't take a point of view of whether you should be one or the other, but we offer these as ways to continue to grow, because I think the people who fail and don't recover are really those who don't grow.
BuiltForGrowth.com. Check it out right now. How builder personality shapes your business, your team, and your ability to win. Chris Keeney and John Danner decode the interplay between builder personality and new business growth. They demonstrate that who you are shapes how you build. I love it. Let's do this. I'm excited. All right, before we make the introduction to Chris, I have a little motivation corner for you, for those who are looking for a little motivation. I'd like to start the show off with a minute, so please, I hope you enjoy. For those that need a little bit of motivation, a little motivation corner here. Winston Churchill said it the best. Success is the ability to go from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm. Wow. Here's the formula to success. It's quite simple. Really, double your rate of failure. You are thinking of failure as the enemy of success, but it isn't at all. You can be discouraged by failure, or you can learn from it. So go ahead and make mistakes. Make all you can, because remember, that's where you will find success. Keep trying. There's so much power. There's so much value in trying one more time. Strength does not come from winning. Your struggles develop your strengths. When you go through hardships and decide not to surrender, that is strength. Put your hands together for the next guest, and I appreciate it. Check out PositiveFill.com. Be kind to yourself and be kind to one another.
On the show, we have Chris Keeney. He is a successful business builder, growth capital investor, and member of Princeton University's entrepreneurship faculty. I am excited. This show is all about entrepreneurship. It's also about good people building business with, you know, I like to say a good spirit, a good heart, a good mind, because I think you need a lot of good things in your corner while building a business. Let's start by this. What does this mean, a successful business builder?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Phil. My colleague John Danner and I had the opportunity to interview more than 1,000 successful entrepreneurs, really focusing on how they build their businesses. So we focus on people who are obsessed with growth. Anyone who's running a business, who has outside investors, has employees, knows that growth is really the elixir that makes businesses move forward, create value, and frankly, is the source of enormous fun as you're managing your business. So we think of business builders as the leaders, the founders, the people who focus on growing their businesses.
I like it. Let's go to that next part. Growth capital investor. I like it because I see that word investor in there. And that's what a lot of people that are growing businesses need, is that investment. What does that mean, the growth capital investor?
Yeah, so growth, there are all kinds of investors. In fact, one of the challenges of being an investor is there are too many of us out there. There's just too much money chasing too few great deals, as all of us bemoan to one another every day. So a growth capital investor is an investor who seeks businesses who are at a stage where additional capital will actually help them grow faster. And so we focus on businesses where our capital and our expertise can really accelerate growth, because growth then means the company's worth more. And when the company's worth more, then the investor can be paid at a liquidity event, a handsome return.
You mentioned earlier someone that's building their business and enjoying it, having fun doing it. I mean, I think that's a huge part, because that means you're doing something probably that you enjoy, that you're passionate about. Do you come across a lot of business builders or individuals or entrepreneurs that you can see they just do not have that spark?
Yeah, I would say the answer, of course, is yes. There are people whose businesses are either in a downturn or a downward spiral, and the fun has kind of been meted out of the business. But I would say for the most part, most entrepreneurs like you are very positive, are optimists who believe that that the best years or the best times are still ahead, and are really focused on realizing that dream, realizing the dream of doubling their business or increasing the rate at which their business is growing. Because growing a business is an enormous source of validation that you're doing important work. You're doing important work for your customers. Your employees have a job that they hopefully find satisfying by serving new and bigger customers each year. So there's this kind of virtuous cycle that can be created when you're growing your business. And I've found in growing the businesses I've been involved that it's just enormously fun.
Yeah, you have been involved with growing businesses and selling them off. Is this what motivates you to do all this, Chris? What's your big motivator?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're all blessed with certain strengths, and certainly cursed with more than my fair share of weaknesses and opportunities to do things better. But what I find most satisfying about building and growing businesses is fundamentally it's about the people involved, the people who are in the company, the people the company serves. I grew up in an academic family. I do a little teaching now myself. And I think when you give people an opportunity, a purpose to create value, to have an impact, that serves just a primal need for validation, relevance, and contribution to society. And so mine happens to be helping people build their businesses. I'm sure you get the opportunity to talk to lots of other people whose gifts and satisfactions come from other sources. But I was lucky enough to be blessed with some skills in building a business. In fact, my dad, who is an economics professor at Princeton, used to say when I was a little kid that I had a dollar signs for a brain. I was always looking for opportunities to kind of make a buck and create some value. So dollar sign for a brain.
I love it. So that's rewarding, and that must feel good. Your father was in the Princeton University system, and now you're a faculty for. Is that what you do there? Are you a teacher, a professor?
Yes. Well, because I'm the son of a real professor, I would never call myself a tenured professor. Our title is actually lecturer, but I get the chance to share some of these personal philosophies and techniques in growing businesses with some of the smartest young people in the world. The students at Princeton are remarkable, as they are in your backyard at UCSD. And so being able to hang out with 20 and 21 year old kids who are far smarter than I am, who are excited about taking their intellect and applying it to growing businesses is just a great source of personal satisfaction.
I love it. And there are two parts, right? I mean, you can be an entrepreneur growing your own business from scratch or perhaps an already existing business and you're trying to get it to grow further. Or you have the individual in the larger corporation trying to grow a new venture. And you help them as well, because that's, a lot of people forget about that. I have a buddy that works for Microsoft. He goes, I'm part of 100,000 people, Phil. I said, yeah, but you're doing these new projects, and that's what you have to focus on. Be the star of that project. And I often forget about that, that you can be entrepreneurial within that larger corporation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, larger corporations like Microsoft, Microsoft is one of our biggest clients at the company I started, Rosetta. But companies like Microsoft need, as you just said, entrepreneurial, motivated, and entrepreneurially spirited employees to help grow that business. The Microsoft stock is dependent on, as every publicly traded company is, on growth. The investors are betting on the fact that Microsoft can grow and grow faster and faster each year. So being a growth agent inside a company is very important. And if I may, I'd like to just quickly digress to the book that John Danner and I wrote, because what we found was that your personality, that what makes you up, what motivates you, how you manage and lead people, how you make decisions, these attributes of who you are have a very profound impact on how you build your either company or division or product or whatever it might be. And so we started this conversation on the sort of humanity of what it's like to be a person, what it's like to be motivated and optimistic. And what I find so fascinating about this work is that who you are actually shapes how you build your business. And our book, Built for Growth, www.builtforgrowth.com, really helps business builders figure out who they are and then how they can build more effectively based on that underlying personality.
Built for Growth. What a great name for a book. What a great name.
Well, thanks. I must, growing up in an academic family, you always give credit where it's due. And John Danner actually came up with the title. And as soon as he said it, we were spitballing back and forth different titles. And as soon as he said it, we both paused, looked at one another and said, yes, that's exactly right. And what we like about the title is that it has a sort of double entendre. It's not only is your company built for growth, but are you as the leader of the company or of the division or of the product line, say at Microsoft, are you personally built for growth? And our book really goes into how you can grow yourself personally and professionally, and then how, in light of growing yourself, you can actually help grow your business.
Chris, I read a ton of books. I listen to them as well. And sometimes I wonder about the author. I'm thinking to myself, how does this guy give the right to tell me how to do this? Did he do this in the past? I mean, you've done this in the past. You've built, and I just Googled you with your Rosetta when you mentioned that. And I mean, that was a very big, tell us a little bit about that venture.
Yeah. So I was my co-creator of Rosetta, a guy named Kurt Holstein, had this great expression: "Better lucky than good." Kurt and I were very lucky to start a marketing services company kind of right at the dawning of the acceleration of the internet. And so we built a company called Rosetta, and I always pause and say, no, not the language company. In fact, one of our great frustrations were that we were bigger than the language company, but not as well known. And Rosetta, Rosetta became actually the largest privately owned digital marketing agency in the world. And as your comment suggests, we were lucky enough about 6 years ago to sell it for almost $600 million to a French holding company called the Publicis Group. Ooh. And so
that makes me smile.
It's real money. But what was most satisfying about that, and this goes back to the earlier part of our conversation, is that Kurt and I were both students of the game in marketing, and we believed fundamentally there was a better way to do marketing that started with understanding what drove consumers to buy one product versus another. And from that singular insight about consumer choice, we built a technique, in fact, the same technique we used for the book in understanding entrepreneurial founders. And then we scaled the business from zero to $250 million in revenue over 13 years, really with just this obsession, curiosity, and satisfaction of believing that if companies could understand their customers better, they could serve them and ultimately grow their businesses better.
I'm in awe. I have a big smile on my face. You're my new best friend, and I'm excited to read your book, and I'm excited to push your book out and share it with the followers and the Positive Phil motivators. I consider myself a digital marketer, but it seems like everyone is marketing something online, and it's part of the business. So do you bring a lot of that knowledge into the book about growing a business? Is that that marketing side, how to market yourself and how to market your business?
Yes, we do. But at a slightly higher level. So it's not the technical aspects of digital marketing. It's really more how to think about and then align the right people in your organization for growth in light of your own strengths and weaknesses. And I'll just use a couple of very quick examples if we have time. One of the personality types that we identified is somebody we call the explorer. And so companies that are founded by explorers, Jeff Bezos, as an example, the founder of Amazon is an explorer. Explorers serve their customers in a different way. They understand the underlying system that's at play for the customer, and then build a commercial apparatus that serves that customer in a highly systematic way. Whereas the driver, and Steve Jobs is an example of the driver, actually serves his customers in a very different way, more from the product to the consumer. And when we all marvel at the iPhone or all the way back to the iPod, that was the design genius of someone who could really understand the underlying needs of the consumer and build a product. So what we really talk about is who you are actually defines how you go off and do those things that you were asking about, how you think about product and how you think about digital marketing. These are all really a function of your personality, or as we call it, your builder personality.
You love this stuff, don't you?
It's sort of hard to hide. It's fun, you know. Thanks to the wonderful success we had at Rosetta, I have the luxury of being able to do what I want to do instead of what I have to do. And I have to say that this is about as much fun as you can have with your clothes on. I just love helping people build their businesses, and it's really gratifying to do so.
Do you believe in your dreams?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, one of the things that entrepreneurs have to watch is that we're wired to be optimistic. And as in fact, there was a Nobel Prize awarded to a Princeton professor named Daniel Kahneman, and he talks about the confirmation bias that our mind plays tricks on us, and certainly my mind plays tricks on me even before I have a martini. And the trick is that you need to be able to get to a vantage point of objectivity of your own dreams. And I would say that I've followed probably some of my dreams right out the window. I think one of the key aspects of being a successful business builder is to surround yourself with people who challenge your dreams, because we optimists tend to believe them even perhaps at times when we shouldn't.
Well said. Now, do you do a lot of public speaking? Because I would definitely buy a ticket to listen to you.
Oh, you're nice to say that. Yes, I do get the chance to speak to a range of audiences who are really focused on this question of growth, whether they're investors or whether they're corporate managers or entrepreneurial leaders. All trying to figure out how to align their businesses for growth. And it's always an honor to stand in front of them and share some of the things that I've learned along the way.
I like it. So how was the process of writing this book, and how did you meet the co-author?
Yeah. It's kind of a fun and borderline romantic story. So I had, growing up in an academic family, I'd always set my bucket list. I wanted to write a book. My dad wrote 13 books over the course of his life. And I thought, well, if he can do 13, I should be able to do at least one. So I decided when I retired from Rosetta and started teaching that I wanted to write a book. And I spent about a year playing around with some ideas. And I was getting close. And at the end of a semester, my colleague at Princeton, John Danner, and I were sitting in the faculty club, and we were talking about the semester, and he had just published a fantastic book called The Other F Word. And I was asking his advice on how he did it and what was hard and what was easy and so on. And he's giving me this spectacular advice, and he goes on and on and on. And so at a certain point in the conversation, I said, John, why don't we do this book together? You know all this stuff, and I'm aspiring to know this stuff, so wouldn't it be fun? So it took me about 4 months to convince him, because he'd just gone through this exhausting process of writing and publishing one book, and I convinced him to jump right back in the deep end. And starting in sort of February or March of 2014, he and I got underway. And then we conducted the research together and built the ideas together. And some 2.5 years later, we had the book.
I love it. Interviewing all those individuals, that must have been something. That's what, I mean, I ran away from corporate, making a bunch of money, having all this office space and all of this stuff just to interview people like you, just so I can grab a little nugget to share around the world to people and perhaps motivate people. But that must have been a blast, you know, interviewing all those people for this book.
It really was. And you do this for a living. We only did it over the course of about 15 or 18 months, but people are fascinating. And you know, what I find most interesting about talking to successful entrepreneurs is where the strategy of business intersects with the humanity of who they are as people. So many books are written about business strategy, and there are terrific, terrific books. But they lack this key ingredient about the humanity of the people who actually execute the strategies. And what we found was really who you are shapes how you build. In other words, who you are by way of personality and all the stories and scars and successes, that amalgam of flesh and blood and bones, that's what actually creates the business. Not the strategy that you can write pristinely on a whiteboard in front of a business school class, but rather where that strategy and the humanity come together.
Oh, I love it. So passionate about this. I can feel it through the microphone. But that's the truth. And you mentioned it, the scars, the battle wounds. I was talking to this individual yesterday. He ran Gunderson, CEO of Gunderson Health Systems. Huge guy, Dr. Jeff Thompson. And he wrote a book as well, and he said, you know, it's about getting up. It's about the battles. I said, someone might have one success, but people see that one success, but they don't see all the failures that someone might have. And you have to fall down. You have to hurt yourself at times. And I know it's cliche, but you have to get back up. Do you see a lot of companies that fail? I mean, this is built for growth, but I'm sure you've seen your fair share of companies and individuals that had those characteristics as a great, passionate leader, but yet their business failed.
Yeah. Yeah. So no question. In fact, a lot of the businesses that we and founders that we interviewed either failed along the way before the business that they were succeeding in, or even failed within the business that they're now succeeding in. So as you say, and Jim's first book, The Other F Word, such another great title, it is all about how we learn from failure. The other thing that we learn from all these interviews and some of the psychological modeling was that businesses tend to have growth periods, and then they tend to have plateau periods. And I think this is true for us as people too, right? So there are periods of time when you feel like you're getting better and you're learning new things, and then there are periods of time when you kind of flatten out. And one of the pieces of advice we have in the book is how you stay on a steep learning curve yourself to become a stronger builder. And we developed these two strategies of how to become a stronger builder. You can become an expert builder, in which you leverage your natural strengths and then you delegate the things you're not good at. Or you can be a master builder, where you take on the qualities of other people to actually diversify your repertoire of skills. And we don't take a point of view of whether you should be one or the other, but we offer these as ways to continue to grow, because I think the people who fail and don't recover are really those who don't grow.
I like it. I like you. I'm excited about reading this book, builtforgrowth.com. I'm on the website. I was about to take this quiz. You have a take the quiz button here, and you have a lot of praise.
Yeah.
Alex Gorsky, chairman and CEO of Johnson & Johnson. So it's a different ballgame getting this out, right? Getting it out there into the public. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going well. It's going well. In fact, we were very lucky to, in our first week of sales, actually get onto the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. We were number 3 on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list back in mid-June. And we're very gratified that that people interested in business from standalone startups through, as you said earlier, corporate venture groups who are charged with building new businesses. Our audience seems to be very interested in learning about themselves and then translating those insights into more concrete ways to build their own businesses. So that's what we're trying to do. We're really just trying to help business builders build their businesses, learn about themselves, and more effective.
Now, sometimes I vision myself uber successful financially, and I vision myself sitting there. And sometimes I vision myself not doing much, but sitting by a pool, not doing anything, but just enjoying the rest of my life. But you said after you just go get it, huh? That's just how you're wired. You just tell us a little bit about your routine. I mean, you just spring out of bed in the morning and get after it?
I do. I once heard this expression, rest is for the next life. And so I think I've sort of taken that on, probably for better and for worse. But yeah, I just get so much satisfaction from doing this stuff that frankly, when I'm not doing it, I'm sort of more sad than when I am doing it. And I actually have to discipline myself to kind of close the laptop and go for a walk. But I do, you asked about my routine. I'm a bit of a fitness fanatic. So I wake up in the mornings and work out pretty much every morning. And that gives me a lot of energy, a lot of positive energy for the day. And then I get to it, whether it's, teaching or writing, or working, on my portfolio companies or with my partners to find new investments where we think we can apply our growth mindset to help management teams grow their businesses. So, it's a little bit like a religious crusade of wanting to help others grow their businesses.
That's a great way to grow your business. I mean, I have a lot of people on the show and they keep saying lucky, I'm blessed, I'm helping people. And I love it. I think that's a great way to grow your business is by helping other people.
Yeah, and you do it too, right? I mean, you're helping other people by providing access to a whole range of fascinating people and hopefully giving them, as you said a moment ago, a tidbit, an insight, a new way to think about something, a book, or whatever it might be. So my guess is that you are a fellow kind of crusader in this regard in terms of being someone who really seeks to help others.
Yeah, I just think if people believe in themselves, and I think there's only one key to success, and that's never to quit. And my mom beat that over my head over and over again. She texts me every day about it. Never quit. Surround yourself with those who believe in you. Keep your dream alive despite the challenges, Phil. Keep going. Keep going. And I had one guy email me. I say one guy. I have tens of thousands of listeners and followers. This is growing great. And I had one guy, though, email me recently. He goes, Phil, your rant about not giving up. I have a baby on the way. I have three at home. I have this startup here in San Diego in your neck of the woods. And I listened to you this morning, and I felt like giving up, but I didn't. So thanks. And that's what he said. And I said, this is fantastic, one person.
Well, I would imagine that it's a lot of your tens of thousands of listeners. Yeah, in fact, my final lecture at Princeton is exactly this message. As you may have seen, I was lucky enough to go to Princeton and then go to Harvard Business School, but I applied to each of those schools and was rejected by both of them, and then went and spoke with the directors of admissions and took a year off and reapplied and got into Princeton. So I share with my Princeton students just how important that failure to reboot to success sort of cadence really is, just like your mom said.
Yeah, I love it, man. You should have a podcast. I could help you set one up. I mean, you have a radio voice for it, and you have great knowledge.
Well, you're nice to say that. I may come back to you and ask you just how to do that.
I will definitely help you through that. I will do what I can to help you grow. We need to find this book. How do we find it? Builtforgrowth.com.
Yeah, the easiest way is on Amazon. In fact, we're an Amazon bestseller. So builtforgrowth.com or Built for Growth is on Amazon. It's also available at Barnes & Noble. It's available in most other bookstores. But the simplest way is to just hop on Amazon and order it right through there.
I'm ordering mine today. I appreciate it. Give me a high five through the microphone.
Absolutely. High five and then some. And thanks so much, Phil, for the opportunity to talk about these important issues.
I will definitely cheerlead over here for you without wearing the skirt, of course. And I will share this. And we'll help each other grow. And I appreciate the time today. Keep motivating others and keep yourself motivated, Chris.
Sounds great, Phil. So much. And back at you.
All right. See you later. Thank you.
Remember to be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Let your voice be heard. PositivePhil.com.